The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 8. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 45. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region, and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is your gospel lesson, but along with these words from our epistle lesson for today, from Ephesians chapter 3, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. This is our text. Some of you might remember that when we were building this or adding on to this facility early in my ministry, I had to go in for eye surgery. I had, what I didn't know at the time, was congenital cataracts. All throughout my life, my vision had been clouded. But since it was all throughout my life, I didn't even know it. When I had the first eye done, I realized how bad it was, because I could go like this and then go like this. And I went like this, and it was kind of looking like through a dirty aquarium, if you know what I mean. How many of you have had an aquarium that got way out of hand? And then I went like this, and the whole world brightened, and the colors, oh wow, the colors were so cool. I'd been missing this all of my life. I've shared this with you before, but it's still such an amazing event. I couldn't believe the world that I was now seeing. Spiritually, we have sort of the same problem that I had with my eyes. When we are born into this world, we're born into it as sinners, not fully comprehending the depths, the riches, the power of God, grounded in love for us. We go through life fearing that which we need not fear, getting worried about things we really don't have to worry about, because spiritually our vision is clouded. It's like that dirty aquarium toilet water, and we think that's the way things really are. That's not the way things really are. That's just the way we're seeing them. They're actually much cooler, much neater. But until we spiritually remove the blindness that is afflicting us, we can't see it. And an example for that is provided for us in our gospel lesson for today, the account of Jesus walking on water, which, if you wouldn't mind taking out your Bibles, there's a lot of cool stuff in this particular text today, that if you read it too quickly, you might just sort of pass it by and not really get how complex this text really is. Now it starts out in verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up in the mountain to pray. So the disciples are in the boat, and remember, most of them are fishermen, you know. They're going someplace on the Sea of Galilee. They've been there before, they've done that. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway. And it's a very interesting Greek word that is in that next word, translated painfully. But it's very rarely used in Scripture, and in the other places that it's used, it's translated tortured. When the demons are afraid that Jesus is going to torment them, that's the word that is found in that place, for instance. So, you know, it wasn't just that they were, kind of sort of struggling. I wonder if the disciples were wondering if they were going to make it at all. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, here's one of the cool things that you find then in the text. And he meant to pass them by. He wasn't going to help them. He was going to let them continue to struggle in a tortured sort of way. That's kind of interesting. Why would Jesus do that? Well, you know, if you look back, and you don't have to go there right now, but if you look back a couple of chapters, there was another time that the disciples were out on the sea and they thought they were going to drown. You remember where Jesus was on that other account? He was in the boat with them. And what was he doing? Sleeping. Was Jesus worried? Were they struggling? Oh, yeah. But did they need to worry about their struggles? Did they need to be afraid? Did they have to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, why are you sleeping? Don't you care? See, there's the dirty aquarium toilet water. When we look at life without faith, we think that what we are seeing is reality. But it's not. Yeah, it looks that way. But that's because we're not looking with the eyes of faith. Here was the reality in that previous encounter in Mark. They were going to struggle, they were going to work hard, and they were going to make it to shore alive. They were going to work hard. But fear, worry, anxiousness didn't need to be a part of their thinking process at all, because Jesus was with them. They just didn't get it. He was about to pass them by. I think he was probably going to let them keep on struggling. But why would he walk so close to them if he wasn't going to help them? I'd like to suggest a possible reason. He wanted to assure them by his presence that they were okay. He was there watching. I don't know, maybe he was going to walk before them on water all the way to shore as they were sitting there pulling the oars as hard as they could. Maybe he thought that if they saw him and understood who he was, that they'd even pull harder out of excitement and enthusiasm, knowing that if he was there walking on water with them, they had nothing to be afraid of. But of course, that's not the way it worked out. There's that dirty aquarium toilet water again. They see Jesus, but they don't see the reality of him. Instead, they see him and they thought it was a ghost and cried out. But they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I." Now, if you have your own Bible with you today, take out a pencil and underline that, "It is I," because that's a really interesting part of the text as well. It doesn't come through quite so well in English, but in the Greek of the New Testament, that phrase, "it is I," is the divine name of God. Ego eimi in the Greek. It's used very sparingly in the New Testament, usually in places where Jesus is revealing his divine nature, such as right now. Essentially, what he's saying to the disciples, and make no mistake, when he used that phrase, they got exactly what he was saying. Okay? I am God. Take heart. I am God. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Then here's the other neat thing in this text, where they did not understand about the loaves. You know, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. What an act of both compassion and power, all wrapped together. If you recall, it was gospel reading last week, you know, the disciples wanted to send the people away. Jesus said, you go ahead and feed them. They didn't think they could. That'd be an impossible feat. And then with 5 loaves and a couple of fish, he tells them, sit the crowds down, and they feed them, and they pick up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Power combined with passion. Over even the littlest things in life. You know, would those 5,000 have died of starvation if they didn't get a meal right then? Probably not. It'd been a rough day for them, but God shows compassion to us in all that we do. Do we sometimes have to struggle? Does life sometimes get hard? Yes. That's okay to be tired. It's okay to be exhausted. And it's okay to want to take a rest. But not to worry. Not be anxious. Not be afraid. Because God is with us. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. 2 times they see Jesus calm the winds and the waves. They see him healing the sick, feeding the 5,000. And still they worry. And we know even more than they did at that point in time. At the same as Jesus was tortured on the cross, died, and yet rose again. Go away me. I am God. And I want you to comprehend the depth, the riches, the love that I have for you. It does not mean that life is not going to be full of struggles. Our Lord struggled in this world, and we will also struggle in this world. But we need to listen to our Lord in the midst of those struggles. As he says, "Ego eimi," I am God. Take heart. Do not be afraid. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.